Welcome back to another episode of the Amazon Private Label Show podcast, hosted by the FBA University founders, Michael and Ryan. Just a quick plug right here. We are releasing a 4-hour step-by-step YouTube tutorial this week. So by the time you hear this, it should be up, barring any unforeseen circumstances. This is really, it's all 2024 content. It really takes you all the way through setting up a business, product research, how to find products, how to validate them, how to find manufacturers that we would work with that are vetted, all the way through launching some advanced PPC, some external marketing. So if you feel like the pod is really helping you out, but you could use a little visual, you could use a little know-how, and really when you're behind the screen, whether it be Seller Central or your product research, you need some visual guidance, check out our YouTube. It will be linked at the bottom of this episode. And it's really something that we put a lot of work into. So check it out. Leave us some love. Let's get back into the episode. So today, what are we talking about? We are talking about the most common Amazon problems, what tends to happen just navigating the open source nature of Seller Central, how to fix, and really what is a red flag and what's something that you can resolve in a few minutes. So, Rye, we've been battling Amazon Seller Central for years now, and it's
still battling it.
For how many people are using it, it's pretty damn good, but it is not something that doesn't come without hiccups and hair pulling out moments. So just in terms of the most common problems, what do you typically face?
Yeah, just to kind of go all the way back, I think, you know, I personally am still fighting Amazon on a bunch of stuff. And it is a common problem that we see inside the Accelerator 2.0 program, our mentorship program, where, you know, students do fall foul of a bunch of Amazon issues, listing page issues, and just general sort of admin issues that come with being an Amazon seller. And it wouldn't be Amazon if you didn't have these issues. So no one is immune from it, and it will affect you if you're listening to this. You have an Amazon account at some point in time, but hopefully you can navigate through it as smoothly as possible. So I'm just going to talk about the most common problems that I see and that I face myself in the business. And I think one of the biggest problems is an error code that you get when you're trying to change the brand name on your product. So this affects people who are not brand registered, and it also affects people who are brand registered. But people that have brand registry tend to be able to navigate this a little bit more smoothly. But basically, when you create a listing on Amazon, if you're a brand new Amazon seller, you probably don't have brand registry. So you're going to go ahead and hit generic for your brand name. So there's a checkbox that says, you know, if your product doesn't have a brand name, hit this checkbox, and then Amazon will go ahead and label your product as generic. Now, the problem arises when you want to convert that generic brand name onto your actual brand name. And look, sometimes it works where you're able to raise a case and get seller support to manually change it, either via email, you know, it can be a lot of back and forth here with this, or picking up the phone and requesting a callback and getting it done over the phone. That is how I've done it in the past before I had brand registry. But for most people, it's going to be a massive uphill struggle, and you're not going to be able to get it done as easily. They also want you to send through proof that is your brand name. So, you know, your brand name on the product packaging is the most common way you can prove that. So they want you to send that through, and that usually gets the job done. But look, sometimes it just doesn't work. And they say that, you know, your ASIN is locked, and that they can't change the brand name on your ASIN. So the best way that I found to get around this, and this is going to sound absolutely crazy, but just bear with me, keep following, is to copy the seller SKU for your listing, and then go ahead and delete your listing, create a new listing, paste the original listing's seller SKU, and then input the rest of the characteristics and fields as they were in the original listing, and then everything should port over. So your price, your reviews, your rank, everything should be the same, your inventory. So you should be able to be up and running with that new listing. And then as you're creating the listing, you can hit the drop down and then select your brand name or input your brand name there, which should fix the issue, especially if you have brand registry, because your brand name would already be preloaded when you've actually completed that brand registry process. So that's an easy way around the sort of generic brand to, you know, your brand, your own brand change. Some of the other issues I see when I'm going through and navigating the Amazon world is a lot of the times a detail page will be removed. So, you know, if you violated a certain thing, or if Amazon are requesting something else from you, that, you know, certificate, for example, that you need to sell your product, or some sort of, you know, legal documentation, whatever, then they'll remove your detail page, pretty much do that off the bat. And then even when you do submit the documentation, it doesn't always mean that your detail page is going to be unlocked and your listing is going to be back up and running. In my experience, every time that's happened to me, detail page removed basically means that that page is gone, no matter if you've submitted the correct documentation. So what you then have to go ahead and do is create a brand new listing. But again, you can use the technique I just mentioned to pour everything you had on the original listing onto the new listing, and then basically submit that, and you're back up and running again. Good to go from day one. So those are probably the two main issues that I see. I mean, there's other little bits here and there, but looking through, you know, the last couple of months in the program, looking through the last couple of months of my own business, those are like the main things I see when it comes to Amazon. They can be absolutely headaches.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, to be honest, there's a lot more noise than there is actual significant problems when you're dealing with Amazon notifications. A lot of times people have issues. It really be brand new accounts. Amazon has really been clamping down just because of, if you have a great opportunity, obviously it's going to be the highest number of deceptive scam manipulators also. So they make it difficult when you're starting out to, one, get verified. So sometimes like even a comma in your address is not matching from your, let's say your banking statement to your passport or license or whatever. They make it hard. Even when you're in your first product, if you're not brand registered, you'll need a UPC code. And a lot of times they'll mess with your listing to a degree and just give you feedback that the ASIN you're trying to create cannot be associated with a generic brand, or cannot be associated with the brand you have. And anytime you get to that point, you just need to save in a draft, contact Seller Central, whether it be by phone, and they'll do it live with you, or by email, and they'll essentially smooth it out once they understand, okay, you're just trying to get your business started, you're a legitimate seller, you have business info, you've already been verified, all of that. So that's one thing that can happen. And then a lot of product categories are restricted in a way that means you need certain documentations to sell. So we've talked about, and Rob mentioned, children products. So anything under, any product for 12 or under, technically you have to have a child product safety certificate. And that's a U.S. law, but manufacturers all across the world, because they want to make money, they have their sites and their manufacturing sites and that specific product tested so that it's in line and can be registered with CPC. So a lot of times it's a little confusing, because when you create the listing and even get it going, get it all the way up to some, you know, like editing it, getting it ready for launch, sometimes you don't get these requests for documentation. You think, okay, I'm in the clear. And then all of a sudden your listing is suppressed or pulled or in a state of really just listing removed. And so at that point, you always want to contact Seller Central, but a lot of times there's a workaround. So if it's a child product certificate or a safety data sheet that they're requesting, you can actually upload. There's a specific safety data sheet upload spot in Seller Central where you can just upload more than just that, really any documentation around your product without waiting for them to request it. So if you just search safety data upload and then go to the, I think it's called Manage Safety Data Sheet. Clearly, we've been in these a lot, but then you can upload, you can proactively even upload this documentation. And a lot of times you just never get any issues with your listing because you already have it there. And so that's one thing, just realizing that your listing being pulled is pretty standard in terms of the life of a product listing. So the products that I've had for years, there are less that have never been pulled than the other way. That was a confusing way to say that. But most at one point got flagged, and it looks like it's oh no, is this the end of this product? And it's not. You just have to work with them. A lot of times statutes change too, especially in the US, where, okay, all of a sudden for this category, now they're requesting this sheet. And so that's where you proactively really, really want to make sure you request documents from your manufacturer really before you even sample and before you order, so that you have the ammo in your gun when they do request. You don't have to scramble and potentially find out you don't have it, because that kind of thing can be an issue. So that's one. Sometimes, like, there's all kinds of things that are just kind of nothing. Like, sometimes you'll just see a random product in your inventory, and that's just due to the open source. Somehow your product got associated with it. Just delete it. Like, it's not an issue. Don't get scared by it. And just know if, like one thing as well, if your products are pulled, going back to your own products, your inventory will go to stranded inventory. And so you need to make sure your settings for stranded inventory are on the longest automatic removal date, because they have it set up where those are automatically removed in, I think, 6 weeks or so, or a month. And you want to extend it so that, say, a Amazon suppression happens, you need to send some documents, the inventory isn't at risk of being removed, right? So you just want to make sure you really have to play around with Seller Central and get familiar, especially with the inventory module, because things are hidden. Notifications are not, there's no notification like button or traditional social media UX. And so just know Amazon is they are hoping, they're on your side long term, right? They want sellers. So as long as you kind of move with them and provide everything they need, your listings that you have been selling will continue to sell.
100%. There was just one other error I wanted to highlight here, because I know a lot of guys have been facing this as well. Sometimes when you get your UPC codes from third-party sites, they are still tied to another listing, which potentially could have been on Amazon many years ago. And that can mess up when you're creating listings. So if you do run into that problem, 9 times out of 10 looks completely fine. You don't have an issue. I buy my UPC codes from various sites and generally don't have an issue. If you find that you persistently have an issue with them, I recommend going to the GS1 official website and then buying your barcodes from there. They are a little bit more expensive, but every time I've used those ones, I've never had an issue. And then obviously when you do get brand registry, you can apply for a GTIN exemption, which basically then means that you never have to buy a UPC barcode again, because any product that you launch, you have GTIN exemption and you can set it up that way. So just wanted to throw that out there if anyone's having issues with UPC codes or will potentially have issues in the future. But look, if you're listening to our podcast, you love all the free information that we give. We have our flagship program, the Accelerator 2.0, which is our one-to-one mentoring program where you get unlimited calls with both myself and Michael for an entire year. So you're looking to take the step further and you're serious about launching a successful private label business and selling products on the Amazon platform, book a call with us. We'd love to speak with as many of you as possible and see how we can get you supercharged and selling on Amazon very, very quickly. If that sounds like you want to do that, book a call with us. Links in the description. And as always, we'll see you on the next episode.